Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Who's feeling the sunshine? I might try to make this simple today just to not make you bake in the sun here today. But at this time, we are going to dismiss for Children's Church, and there will be time at the end of the service because we're going to do the baptisms after the closing song. And so during the closing song, we want everybody to get their kids back here so they can see the baptism. So at the closing song, please go pick up the kids. And just want to also mention while I'm thinking about this, I think we have 8 people getting baptized today. So as the people get baptized, I've said that families could kind of make their way up there to try to get a little bit closer to get a better view. So try to cooperate with each other. We'll all be able to kind of maybe work together and gather around this a little bit more at the end of the service so we all can see well. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, amen. Well, just think, if you're hot, I might be hotter up here standing and preaching, although I get it more on my face. You guys are getting it on your backs, but it's really nice to have some weather like this. We don't see this too often, and it's really nice to have it today on a baptism day. If you're visiting, I also wanted to welcome you. I know we have a lot of people visiting, maybe here to support somebody being baptized, so thank you for being with us. We're really thankful to have you today, and it's just our hope and prayer that each and every one of us that are here today, that we hear something from the Lord, from His Word today that changes our lives, makes us stronger, draws us closer to Him. And I'm really certain that that'll happen through the baptisms if you look at the example of the people that are being baptized. So let's take a moment, let's pray. We'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to be here to share from your Word. I pray that you will speak to us and that we will hear you, Lord, that you'll remove all the distractions that we have in our lives, and you'll allow us to focus our attention on you and what you say in your Word, Lord. If we have doubts or disbelief in any way, please help us to deal with those things. Please show us that you are the truth and help us to understand. Thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been sharing from the book of Hebrews kind of as my guide. I've been jumping off into Old Testament passages about the people that are mentioned in Hebrews. But I decided that today would be a good day to just do a separate sermon. And so I selected kind of based on my messages that I shared at the Village Missions Conference in New York. I didn't really get a chance to tell you about that very much. But the theme of that service was Ambassadors for the Almighty. So it was encouraging us and reminding us as village missionaries and pastors and pastors' wives that we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are an ambassador, and I really think it's definitely not just pastors that are that. We all are that as Christians. But if you are an ambassador, what that means is that you have the authority to speak for the King. And who is our King? Our King is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our King. And He has a message that He wants us to speak, and it's called the gospel, which means good news. It's the good news about Jesus. And that's the message that we have authority to share. We always come and we always speak under the authority of the Lord and under His Word. We don't make stuff up. We don't just say what's popular. We don't bring our own ideas. We want to preach and proclaim what's in the Word of God. And so that was what the conference was about. I spoke 3 messages there. I'm not going to actually share with you the 3 messages, but I'm going to share a verse that talks about us being ambassadors. But my 3 messages at the conference were having the call, or it was the call of an ambassador was the first one. Just remembering we've been called to that. The heart of an ambassador. So really having a heart to do the job. And then my last one was the diligence of an ambassador. Being willing to do the work of an evangelist and put the work into what we're doing. And so today, this message which I share to you has to do with us all being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you'll turn in your Bibles, if you don't have them already open, 2 Corinthians, your bulletin says chapter 5, but it's really kind of unfortunate the way they break the chapters here because it really continues a thought from chapter 4 into chapter 5, and it's so hard to know where to start. But I just want to read starting in verse 13 of chapter 4 to give you some background to begin with here, okay? As the Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So first thing I just mentioned in context is you can tell as you read this that Paul is actually writing to believers. These words that he says are not just to anybody. He's writing them to the church. When he says we've believed, we've been saved, right? And so we have to understand that and identify it, because the message of Scripture and the good news is that we're not automatically saved. We don't automatically go to live in a better place when we die. You know, this week we had a beautiful celebration of life service here for Liz McDivitt, one of our members here at the church. And I think one of the things that was so neat about that was just the idea that she gave, the testimony she gave, where she said at the end that she said, you know what, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go meet my Lord and Savior. I'm ready to go be with Jesus. You know, she was fully convinced. So that encouraged me to be able to stand up and share the gospel with boldness and to share that at her memorial. But it's such an amazing thing to be able to do that. And then today we kind of have the contrast a little bit. Today we have a lot of younger people getting baptized, basically sharing that they've given their life to Christ and they want to live for him. And if you pay attention to these verses, you're going to see something that really fits that in these verses. But so he's writing to believers. He's writing about how we have the Spirit, how the Spirit encourages us. He writes about God's grace and how God's grace is poured out. And that's when we are just blessed by God in ways that we absolutely don't deserve. So he writes, and he had been writing before this, just about how much of a life and death struggle it is to serve Jesus in the way that they do. And many times people want to kill them for what they're doing. So he says, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so he writes from that perspective that allows them to be ambassadors for the Lord, to go out and to share the message, that they are able to do this because they don't focus on just what they can see. If they focused on just what they can see, they would have given up long ago. But they focused on what's invisible. They focus through faith on the Lord. And one of the things that he says in that, which is so true, and I hope that we all will believe this, is the things that we see in this world that we oftentimes get really caught up in and we get really anxious about and those things, they're all temporary. What lasts forever is God's kingdom. And so if we will take one thing from today, we can get this just from the introduction here in these verses, because we haven't really got to the verses yet, the key verses that I want to go over today. But the idea of we need to have our focus in the right place, and our focus needs to be on the invisible kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And we will do well for that, and that'll allow us to be strong in this life. Now, chapter 5 was the verses that I shared. And as he's writing this, he's talking about looking ahead to the end, to the day when we leave these bodies. We're no longer in these bodies, which are temporary and are fading away. And it's okay that we're suffering in these bodies. He says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building. Now, wait for me a second. I'm going to clamp this in here. My friend Jim Payette, he gave me a little paper clip here, which I'm going to attempt to use here, and I think it's going to help me. Thank you, Jim. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. In those verses, he actually uses two comparisons. One is a building, and the other is clothing. And they both mean the same thing. And in the first case, the idea with the building is these bodies that you and I live in today, they're called tents. They're the temporary structure that we live in today. And if these tents go away, we can know that we someday will receive a glorified body if we are in Christ. If we are believers in Christ, if we are born again, God will deliver us to the very end. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee of that, that we will be given glorified bodies someday. And that's really good news. How many of you is that good news for today? Yeah. As your body breaks down, this is one of the advantages to getting older, right? The advantages to getting older, the advantages of having physical problems in this life, that you can more clearly see and understand what these verses are talking about. That though these bodies break down and fade away, we in the who are in Christ will have a body that will be incorruptible, that will never break down again. He promises. Now, we don't just go off to some spiritual life that it's purely just a spiritual thing, but we are promised a body. After the resurrection, we are promised a body, a new body. And so he uses the idea of a building, but he also uses the idea of clothing. We will be not only clothed, but we will be fully clothed and truly clothed in a new type of a body. Now, even Jesus, when he came back in a new type of body as he came back. You know, wasn't it amazing what he did, how he would just appear in rooms? Like, people would be like, hey, here's Jesus, but the door's locked, but here he is. He just comes through the walls and things like that, you know. So we don't know exactly what it's like, but what we do know is that the bodies that we'll have in the final state of things, they will never die, they will never get sick, they will never break down. Amen? Isn't that good? One of the times when I thought the Lord made something clear to me was when I went to Hawaii. This was some time ago. And I'm kind of feeling a little bit today because this reminds me of it just a little bit. Who's been to Hawaii before? Anybody been to Hawaii? A lot of you guys have been to Hawaii. One thing when I went to Hawaii, and you can get this going to Arizona or other places, there was a lot of fun stuff to do. But we couldn't do it all because the sun would not allow us to do it because it was too bright, too hot, too strong, right? We couldn't do it. We couldn't enjoy this creation because the sun was so hot on us and our skin would burn and our bodies would break down. We'd have to worry about that. And I was thinking about that, and that's so much because we live in a fallen world. We can't even enjoy the goodness of this world as much as we want to because of the fallen state of this world, because we have that kind of possibility of burning, possibility of disease, all those kind of things. But in the final state of things, we won't have the same kind of bodies. We'll have glorified bodies. And again, it's the Holy Spirit that is the guarantee. And there are other verses that talk about this, how in Ephesians, how we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's our guarantee that God will give us the salvation that he has promised to us. So as he writes this is the kind of focus and attention that we should have, right? He says, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in this body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's the way that we need to walk and we need to live. We need to not live by sight. We need to live by faith. Amen? He says, yes, we are of good courage. And we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. If you leave this body and you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be home with the Lord. You will be with the Lord. You will be in the Lord's presence. And it is better by far. Paul writes that in Galatians. He writes, it's better by far to be with the Lord. He wanted to depart and to be with the Lord, because he knew it was better, right? But he says, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to serve the Lord. And so he writes here in a similar way, he writes, so whether we are at home or we are away, we make it our aim to please him. So his goal was to please God. Now there's a very important verse that comes right after this. And this is one that's true for everyone, believers or non-believers. So, you know, it's my hope that everyone here believes this. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't expect that to really be the case with a group this big and maybe somebody's invited you. And that's good. It's good that you're here. It's good that you listen to this. But I'm going to tell you something that you need to expect this in your life. You need to expect that this will happen whether you know Jesus or not. It says this in verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. We all have a body, we all have a life, we all have a certain amount of time, we all live. And every single one of us, and this is true for those who are believers too, someday we need to be ready and prepared that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to give account for what we did in this life in our bodies. Now, the good news is if you believe in Christ and you receive him as your Savior, he's your advocate. He stands with you. He covers your sin. Your sins are forgiven. But we still do have to give account. Even as we're believers, what do we do with our life as believers? What do we do for the Lord? Did we obey the call when he called us to go and serve him? And of course, if we're not a believer in Christ, we're going to stand before him in the kind of a judgment where he says this. He says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." And we'll be separated from God. Now, what you want to hear, and this is what you should live your life, and if you look at how the Apostle Paul writes, he said it was his goal to please the Lord. Our goal should be to stand before the Lord knowing that we were never perfect, we never could have got it all right. We could put our heart into our work. We do have faith, and that's what really pleases him, having faith. And we serve him out of faith. We live out of the abundance of our faith that we have. But we want to hear from the Lord God is we want to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear from the Lord. And so it should be our goal as believers to please him, not to please man, not to please ourselves, but to please the Lord. So like it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord." Now, when he writes about fear, I don't think this means like you're afraid and you run away and you want to get away from him. This is an awe and respect. And I think this makes you want to draw closer to the Lord when you have this kind of fear for him. But it says, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again by giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearances and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." So just briefly on that, what he's talking about there is a lot of people put a lot of confidence in outward appearances and things of the flesh. We do this today all the time. We put confidence in when somebody has a certain amount of charisma and they speak. Maybe a person has a certain number of views on YouTube or something like that. Somebody's influential. We have our celebrity pastors and those kind of things. And that was one of the things that the Apostle Paul ran into, that people thought there were other people that were more equipped to preach the message than Paul and the other apostles. And they would flock to them, and they would want to hear them, and they would want to hear, like, why is it that we should listen to you, Paul? And Paul would have to come and have to, actually, even though he didn't want to do it, he would have to give his credentials to people about why they should listen to him. And he's saying that he doesn't want to do that anymore. He doesn't want to do that. He's not here to commend himself to the people, even though they pretty much made him, because there were the people that they thought were the super apostles, and he wasn't one of them, according to them. But he says he doesn't want to live for outward appearances anymore. None of us should want to live for outward appearances anymore. He says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer." Even Jesus, they're not looking at outward appearances. They're not looking at things of the flesh. Now, in the beginning, many of the disciples were. They wanted to follow Jesus into an earthly rule and an earthly reign. And they're not looking at those kind of things, he says, anymore. They're looking at the spiritual things of what Christ did. He says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come." That's an amazing verse right there. And it's very fitting with the baptism we're doing today, that if you are in Christ, you're not the same as what you were before. You are a brand new creation. What makes you a brand new creation is that God's Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And he's changed you, and he's changing you from the inside out. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not tempted. It doesn't mean that you don't struggle with the old self still. There's plenty of verses that talk about this. But the picture that's presented again and again is that a believer in Christ has a new life, that you are a new person. You are a new creation. There's been a metamorphosis that has happened. This verse means this. You've gone from being one thing to another. You know, you've gone from being the caterpillar to being the butterfly. You know, that's who you are. You're new. You're made new in Christ. You might still struggle with temptation, but now God's given you everything that you need to say no to sin in the Holy Spirit. And that's who you are in Christ. And that's an amazing verse, and he reminds of this. And he says, this is in Christ God. This in Christ God was reconciling. Excuse me, I missed the verse. I need to go back to 18. 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our job as believers. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. That's our service, that we help other people be reconciled. And what it means is to be reconciled to God. Like, there's an issue between mankind and God. The Bible teaches us that that issue is called sin. Every single one of us has a sin problem. We're born with that. Nobody had to teach us how to sin. We knew how to do it from the very beginning. We struggle with it. And sin is when we do anything, we think anything, even if it's said or unsaid, any attitude we have that falls short of the glory of God and it goes against what God would want for us. So it's anything we think, say, or do, or even when we don't do something. If there's a good thing that we should do and we don't do it, that's sin. And that separates us from God. And going back to the very beginning, the Bible tells a story of a rebellion that happened at the very beginning, that man rebelled against God. And because of that, the earth fell. Sin entered the world. Death entered the world. But Christ came to reverse all that and to set us free from that curse. And so every single person needs reconciliation. We need to be reconciled to God. So if all the things that we talk about here, this idea of like having a new body, going to live with the Lord, it only happens when we are reconciled through Christ's death and his resurrection. That's where the reconciliation happens. But we have that ministry somehow, that ministry of reconciliation. It says, that is in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ God. God, making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, I won't apologize to you for this if you're not a believer here today, because you have to understand this is our job as believers, and everybody doesn't like it, and people find offense in it. But our job is to not come with our own message, but it's to bring the message of God and to implore people, to urge people to be reconciled to God. If you don't talk about sin and separation and hell and those kind of things, people have no idea why they need to be reconciled. People need to be reconciled because they face a Christless eternity away from God in eternal damnation in hell if they don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God loves you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. He wants you to be reconciled to him, but you have to come that one way, which is through Jesus. Now, this is a world we live in that believes in many paths, many ways, many truths. We don't believe that here because that's not what the Bible says. And if we were to promote anything like that, we would be promoting something that's a lie. The truth is that we all need to be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way we are reconciled is we believe that he died on the cross for our sins and we receive him as our Lord and Savior. Right? And that's what baptism means. It means when someone's baptized, I'm going to point to it because it's just sitting right here and it's so beautiful. When someone's baptized, they're saying, I believe in the Lord. I've given my life to him. Amen. He's my Lord and my Savior. They receive him. They've received him as that. And because of that, the Holy Spirit's living in them and they have new life. So we don't come with our own message. We come with God's message, but we are authorized to share that message. We are his ambassadors. Amen. So the message is this for everyone today. Be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be reconciled to him. And if you have been reconciled to him, live your life aiming to please him, expecting to stand before him someday for giving account to him for this life that you've given. And then the last verse, I'll just close with this. It says, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Still haven't wrapped my mind around this verse. Kind of blows me away as you look at it. You know, I know there are different explanations to it, but you know, as you look at this, it's talking about Jesus. who knew no sin. It's like what God did is not only did he just put him on the cross, but it's like he made him to be sin, and then he poured all his wrath out on Jesus. And he nailed him to the cross. He nailed sin to the cross. And he did that for the purpose that you and I could become righteousness. We could become the righteousness of Christ. And I still don't quite get it, but I know the theological explanation, and it goes something like this. You and I, we are not righteous in ourselves. We have no righteousness on our own. The only righteousness we get comes from Christ. By doing what he did on the cross on our behalf, he imputed his righteousness on us. So we don't stand before God saying, oh yeah, I'm a good dude. I'm a nice guy. I take the garbage out at home and do chores for my wife and do that kind of thing, right? Nice person. No, well, we stand before the Lord and we acknowledge that we're sinners, but that Christ has given us his righteousness by what we did on the cross. And the exchange there is we got that because we believed in him and we received him. We received the free gift of salvation. So if you're here today, you've never given your life to the Lord, I would say today's the day. Actually, if I went on and read this, that's actually what it says next. It says today. Today is the day for salvation. Today is the day. And again, and I'm going to throw myself into this boat with all of you guys. If you have given your life to the Lord, today's the day to stand stronger in your faith. Today's the day to get the right focus. Focus on the eternal things. Hey, some of you guys are about to have a big distraction coming up. Some of you men. Next week, NFL, or 2 weeks, whatever it is. 2 weeks, I think it is. The NFL kicks off, right? But in this church, like I've always been a big football guy all my life. Played football, love football. We have a good time here, guys, talking about football and different things. But that has to be way off in the distance of our priorities when it comes to a Sunday. We need to keep our focus on the eternal things and what's most important. And so that's a distraction that a lot of guys have, but there are plenty of other distractions out there. Things like money, you know, things like other material, things like the opinions of men, things like the chase for success. Hopefully this message would be one that would encourage us to evaluate our lives and see where we're focused on things that are temporary and we don't have our focus on the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, so I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing a closing song, and they're getting the kids from the nursery to come out for the baptism. After the closing song, everyone who's being baptized, go ahead and come on up here. I'll give you some instructions when we come up. If you have small kids that are here that'll be kind of hanging out with us afterwards, I'm okay if they play around by the water. They do. If you don't want your kids to get soaking wet, then talk to them and tell them to stay away from the water up here. But last time we did this, by the end of it, kids were just completely soaked running around here. It was actually a lot of fun. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this wonderful day and this wonderful place and the great sanctuary that we have out here today. I just ask your blessing on everyone who's here. I pray that we all would feel equipped and encouraged by what we heard today. And I especially pray for those who are standing before us today and will be seated into baptism and will be immersed in the water. I thank you for them all. And I pray, Lord, that this would be a marker in their life that they could always look back on and remember the day that they stood before the congregation and said, yes, I follow Jesus. I'm part of his family. And I thank you for that. And I pray you'll bless them in their lives as they move forward, that you'll give them a clear calling of what you want them to do and how they should serve you. And I thank you and I love you. And I'm just so grateful that with our brothers and sisters here today, we could stand up together and lift our voices up and worship you together. Thank you so much. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.